Thursday is when they're open.
All right. I'll make sure it's the best in the world.
No. Well, yeah. There's a dozen. There's a dozen on it.
Oh, really? Oh, I can do that one.
That's okay. And I look at the same time. But it just looks funny because we're going to have
the tops and the phone are here, and then we're having a public hearing around here.
We have to do that first.
Oh, I understand. It's just, it's funny, you know.
I know. Are we ready to start with the consent agenda?
Sure, please.
Okay, the next item on the meeting agenda.
Please talk to me and start with the rest of the meeting.
Mayor Nolan, the next item is the consent agenda.
I would like to offer it minus 12-140. It's an ongoing situation, so we're not going to close it out at this point.
Motion on it.
I'll offer it.
Second. Offered by Mayor Nolan, seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Do we want to take care of the 140 now? And
no, we're going to table it.
Table it. So that's a motion for Mayor Nolan to table. Indefinitely?
Indefinitely. We'll let that situation play out.
Seconded by?
I'll second.
Ms. Kane? Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Next item is other resolutions. Resolution R12-144, resolution approving developer's agreement for Quick Check.
We're pulling that too, correct?
Yes, what we're going to do on that is our borough attorney and engineer are going to craft this and bring us back some sort of draft to the table.
Carry to the next meeting?
Sure.
Is that a motion?
We plan on getting some updates before then, obviously by our professionals, but yeah, we'll have to talk about it in a group at the next meeting, and I'll offer that.
Offered by Mayor Nolan?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Moving on to resolution R12-146, it's a resolution approving a change of corporate structure for Triple Beta LLC. Mayor Nolan, with this change of corporate structure, it's removing two parties and we're not adding anybody. I spoke with the chief. He didn't feel that any investigation was needed.
Are you aware of this, Mr. Padula?
I haven't seen it until I received the packet.
Okay.
I've been assured it's been reviewed by the police department.
Okay.
They're okay with it.
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Redmond. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Okay, moving on to resolution R12-148, resolution for a place-to-place transfer and extension of the licensed premises for C Street. Basically, last year, they extended their licensed area to include the beach. What mm-hmm. they did do is leave out one little square portion, if you see attached to the resolution. Mm-hmm. So what they're doing now is adding that little square piece. They did publish in the newspaper. I have not received any objections in writing.
Okay. Any discussion at the table?
Yes. I guess I'm concerned. This is C Street asking us for a fairly large expansion of their activities, and I don't have a good feeling. I don't have a good understanding of actually what they intend to do and the scope of what they intend to do. And this drawing seems to present they could do a fairly large activity.
Well,
this is the area
that's all
tonight.
They're asking
this
for.
Is
they can do that
this
already.
Is already licensed. Yeah. This is what they're asking for.
And what I guess they haven't done the parking lot, they haven't done the lighting, they haven't done so many things for us. I'm wondering whether it makes sense to be so open-ended with them. I don't think they're paying back to the town.
Okay. Anyone else on the table want to weigh in? Beck, you have any? Or Ted?
Well, I think for this purposes, it's so tiny of area. They've already got the majority of it.
They can do that thing anyway. Yes. Without that.
Well, they can do what they're going to be doing down there, regardless of that little piece of land. But I'd like to see upgrades too down there. I think it's something we've all talked about and had concerns with.
I know we've visited and revisited, and there had a solution.
There has to be some lighting put onto that anyway if they're going to do anything with that at after hours. So that's one thing that we should take in consideration before anything else is done.
Okay.
But I'm thinking the way they are reluctant to do what they commit to, it's only at opportunities like this where we can force them to come to the table.
Or, and every, create, year the, or every year with the liquor license.
Right.
And create a quid pro quo, all right? You know, when are you going to do what you commit to?
It's so, going to affect what they have planned before we have our next meeting.
I'm sorry?
Will this, does anyone know the question?
Well, yes, yeah, you're saying grand, yes. Yeah, their grand opening, I believe, is 4th of July weekend.
Right, so that would affect that, is my point.
Yeah, because we don't meet till the 18th.
So what are we going to have before the next meeting?
Nothing. No, they have this is part of what they're doing down there. That's what I'm saying. There's an event, I guess, starting the 6th, I believe it is, July 6th.
July 6th.
So that's obviously Friday, 2 weeks or so before our next meeting.
Is there a representative here from C Street?
I don't see any.
I don't want to create a burden for C Street, but at this point...
There's an obligation.
There's an obligation. And they are, at this point, at least 8 years behind a commitment to do the parking lot.
And now, I don't know, when did the ownership change? 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
A couple of years ago, the approval was given to the prior owner.
Yes, but the...
No, I'm just saying, they haven't been letting us hold the bag. It was the other owner into this owner for the last 2 years, I guess.
But the reality is the commitment is on the property,
It runs with
the property. And so they bought that obligation when they bought the property.
No question.
And they nice guy us to death. Yeah, we have meetings with them, or we talk about meetings with them, and the reality is nothing much changes. So,
what do you want to do, guys? Want to offer it? Want to knock it down? What do you want to do?
It's up to somebody else.
I'll offer it because it's a tiny little slot of land. They're gonna be able to do what they want to do with or without that postage stamp.
And then you've got to police that
mercantile and zoning permit.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
Once they receive all the permits and licenses, that they haven't been issued.
There's already structure going up on that parcel.
Okay. Do you want to offer?
And our officials have been down there. They were down there today.
Okay, let's not get into back and forth. Did you want to offer it?
We can offer it, and then I think maybe we should have meetings.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, have a meeting with Mr. Hill.
Which is a standalone, obviously.
Yeah.
So, you offer it, I'll second it.
Offered by Ms. Payne, seconded by Mr. Mayor Nolan. May I take a roll call?
Please.
Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
No.
Ms. Payne?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Moving on to Resolution R-12-152, resolution rejecting the Planning Board. Comments concerning Ordinance
0-12-9. Okay. I'll offer that.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Redman. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Payne?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Resolution R-12-153, resolution rejecting Planning Board comments concerning Ordinance 0-12-10.
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Redman. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Francie?
Yep.
Ms. Keene?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. On for second reading and public hearing is Ordinance 0-12-9, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 21 of the Revised General Code of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, entitled Zoning, to modify the requirements of the MH Mobile Home Resident District and to further allow mid-rise multifamily development in the MH zone as conditional uses, and to establish regulations pertaining thereto. Notice was served via certified mail and regular mail, and the notice was also published in the newspaper. We may now open for a public hearing.
Before we do, are there any comments from the table? Any comments from the table?
Yes.
12-09.
Madam Clerk, you have a copy.
Yes.
I'd like to read my comments into the record, if you don't mind.
Please.
This is relative to Ordinance 012-09, changes to the mobile home district known as Shadow Lawn. This proposed ordinance replaces Ordinance 0707, an ordinance that permitted the large 16-story high-rise development at the site of the Shadow Lawn Mobile Home Park. That ordinance was overturned in March 2011 by the New Jersey Appellate Court in Jennings versus Highlands Borough. The court ruled that 0707 was invalid because the council members at that time did not consider on the record a planning board report that had concerns about the ordinance, nor did they defend or explain their positions in the face of significant resident opposition to the public in the public hearings. Summarizing the planning board report, the planning board found that the high-rise with 282 units, which is 20 units an acre, was consistent with development in the area, an implication being that it was consistent with the master plan. That other residential uses should be allowed, single-family, townhouse, and mid-rise development, and various other non-zoning issues, including steep slope issues. Basically, the council never addressed that report on the record. While the court did not rule on the specifics of 0707 or whether it was consistent with our master plan, many of us agreed with the one planning board member that protested 0707 that the ordinance was manifestly not consistent with our master plan. The proposed ordinance 12-09 corrects these deficiencies in 0707. It permits other residential uses, the single family, townhomes, a mid-rise multifamily, in this case not to exceed 6 stories. It limits the density to 14 units an acre, same as our townwide master plan recommendations. It legislates ridgeline protection as recommended by our master plan. It reestablishes relocation rights for the current mobile home park at the site. Nonetheless, the current planning board has ruled that the proposed ordinance is not consistent with our master plan. This is in spite of the council sending the ordinance to the planning board 3 times, each time revising it per their recommendations. This is my comment. It's baffling to me that the planning board and its planning expert that found 0707, the previous ordinance, to be consistent with the master plan, finds that the proposed changes to be inconsistent with our master plan. I don't understand it. Nonetheless, we're faced with the situation. The appellate court raised a question about 0707. Is it spot zoning? They did not rule on that item because they overturned the ordinance. As the current council considers the proposed ordinance, we have to be sensitive to that concern. In my opinion, we are not spot zoning because we've added multiple other uses and we are implementing master plan recommendations in terms of density, ridgeline, and steep slope concerns. We are not responding to a specific development. We are responding to the master plan. In my opinion, the council has listened to all of the concerns of the planning board and is justified in voting for the new ordinance. I will be voting yes.
Anybody else at the table? Before I weigh in, Beck, any comments?
No, I think this is actually a perfect summary of, and a lot easier than the ordinances and everything that was mailed out to everybody.
I think it kind of surmises everything. I think you need to say that, not what he said. You need to say it directly. I think that's what was ruled against. So I think we need to have some expanded statement from each council member.
That's fine with me. I plan on doing it anyway. Got you over?
Yep.
Agree. Okay. My opinion, this is not anything that's a knee-jerk reaction. It's not spot zoning and not spot zoning. I do believe it is consistent with the overall master plan of the town, just by some of the references Mr. Francie made, like density and things like that. I think we actually have a more established mobile home park rights than anywhere else because we backed it up in our own local ordinance. And all we did was back up the state one. That's pretty good anyway. I'll be voting yes. I do believe it is consistent with the master plan, and I do recognize the planning board's recommendation.
I agree as well. I think we went back and forth with the planning board 3 times. We took all of their comments into consideration. We incorporated everything. And I think basically this will hopefully get us to a better place by way of being able to build up our town a little bit and keep a mixture of residential and commercial businesses.
You know, and I was looking at the some of my own personal notes from the first subcommittee on this that we did. The subcommittee from 1209 actually started in February of 2011. So this has been going on for more than a year that we've brought all these things under this umbrella. Anything? Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay, let's open the...
Let me just add one comment. By the previous resolution that you just adopted, the change in on the third page under 5K is changed from mid-size to mid-rise.
Correct.
We spoke with Mr. Truscott, an engineer at T&M, who's here now, who said that that is not a substantial change because that was the intent was mid-rise, not mid-size. It was
Which we did address at the planning board the last go-around.
Right.
It was maybe the last meeting.
In this instance right now, it's more of a typographical ministerial error in typing size instead of rise. And so since it's no substantial change in the ordinance, is that correct, Mr. Truscott?
That's correct.
There's no need to reintroduce
Okay. And I will say something else, too. What day was the planning board meeting in June?
The second Thursday. I don't have the date on it.
Canceled is the answer.
Correct.
And if we didn't have this ordinance this year, how many planning board meetings would you have canceled?
More.
Probably all, correct? That means nobody's planning anything, folks, right now to do in town. So that's why I'm behind this, too. But let's open the public.
I do have one other comment.
Sure.
Mr. Mayor. I'd be remiss in making a personal comment. This town owes a debt of gratitude to Connor Jennings and Connor and Pauline Jennings for their dedication towards overturning 0707. They did the town a great service, and it'll disappear into the ether, but at this point, those of us who are involved, we recognize it. Thank you.
Okay. Let's open up the public hearing on 12-9. Anybody have want to weigh in on 12-9? Good, Mr. Mullen. Name, I'm sorry, folks. It's going to be name and address for the record.
Peter Mullen, that great place. I am a member of the planning board. The reason that we sent back the same thing all the time was that it had five-story buildings in it, and five-story buildings aren't permitted anywhere in this town, and they're not consistent with our zoning anywhere in our town. I agree with the density. It is, but the whole structure is the size of the packed towers on top of that hill are not permitted, and they're not permitted anywhere else in town. It still remains to me very inconsistent.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Moore? Thank you for your comments. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am.
Kim Scorpio, 315 Shore Drive. I tried to take a note, but I believe Councilman Francis said that they responded to the steep slope concerns. I don't understand how you respond to that concern when any construction on that slope is going to cause it to come down again. Nothing is done, has been done with the stabilization behind 313 to 319 Shore Drive. And if you think building up there is not going to damage that slope any further, I'd like to know who, what support you have.
I'd like to address that if you don't
Please, sir.
One of the things that we learned with the Highlander group development on Shadow Lawn, that project for the 16-story high-rise that went through to completion or was finally approved, is that they had a geotechnical presentation that was extremely easy to understand. It was thorough, but it was easy to understand. While I'm an engineer in this area, I could be considered a layperson, and it was very clear that this 16-story development could be engineered to be safe on the steep slope. And I know that's inconsistent with the 1974 slump block report, but the reality is I firmly believe that there can be safe construction on the steep slope. In addition to the developer's geotechnical expert, the town hired a rebuttal expert. That rebuttal expert agreed 100% with the planning, with the developer's expert. So there's no question in my mind that there are tools involved in the planning board process and in the steep slope ordinance that we can achieve a safe development on that property. That says nothing about what went on top of your house. That's a completely different situation.
So you don't think the vibrations from heavy equipment doing massive construction on Shadow Lawn is going to affect the rest of the hill? You think we'll be fine?
I'm telling you, the experts say yes.
We trade houses? If that ever happens, if they ever do construction and we don't have a retaining wall, how about we trade houses? And you live in fear of that hill coming down.
I'm sorry, Kim. I understand what you're saying, but nonetheless, I remain convinced that it is possible to construct on top of the slope safely with sufficient engineering controls. It did not happen in front of behind your house. It did not happen. That doesn't extend to all things steep slope. It doesn't.
319A Shore Drive?
I'm sorry?
319A Shore Drive?
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Name and address,
please. Kathleen Murray. 319A Shore Drive. It did happen behind my house. So my question is, the engineer reports originally said that you could do this and there would be sufficient, you would be able to construct the houses or mid-rise.
What engineering reports?
The geotechnical engineer report that you said that you could build safely.
That was for a specific development up on the Chatillon property. Right. It has nothing to do with the property behind you.
No, but I'm talking about the stabilization of the hill. So with the heavy equipment up there, have they been out since the hill failure to say that since this has all gone on, and that if you do the construction on top of the hill...
This is going to be a whole other site plan.
Because there's a lawsuit going on about the slope failure, I'd recommend that we not discuss in terms of relation to your property or any of the properties that involve the lawsuit, which we're now a party of.
Could I say a benign statement? Anyone that comes in and does anything is going to have another site plan anyway, which will have engineering reports, no matter what. This doesn't give anyone a blanket. They still have to meet certain things at the planning board level for a site plan. Mr. Manzo, name and address, please, sir.
Manzo, 268 Bayside Drive. I've been living under that hill for over 50 years. I've seen new springs pop out, I've seen the hill collapse, and the engineers all tell me it's safe. It's a bunch of baloney. That hill, when they start building up there, cannot take the weight, and cannot take the structure, and it can't take the movement. And it's gonna come down. The engineers, all they wanna do is make a fast buck. They'll tell you anything. And they'll come up with facts to show it that it will hold until you start to build. If it's anything like our engineers looking at, look at Bay Avenue, what they're going on down there between Waterwich and Gravelly Point. They can't even fix the road right. And they're going to tell you that hill is safe? Blow me.
Anybody else?
There's a good lawsuit when the hill comes down.
Sir?
Roger, Clementi, 164 Lincoln Avenue. For the last 6 months, I've come in here and explained to you that there is a water issue on that whole slope. It's coming out of the embankment. There's something going on over there. And without dealing with the water and the drainage, and I'm not an engineer, and I'm not a rocket scientist, but if you don't have a water management program on a total slope from Waterwich all the way up to East Point, you're gonna have problems in the future. You gotta drain that water.
Any other comments on 12-09?
Pauline Jennings, 57 Wall Street. I would like to weigh in on the steep slope issue as well. That's one of the two issues. There's been a further slide down on the Pampamora / Hudson Trail. I don't know how you can continue to agree with a developer's geoengineer. Remember, his salary was being paid by the developer or the proposed developer.
The town engineer agreed with him too, Mr. Taylor. But well, I don't want to, you know, go back and forth,
okay,
but that's reality.
Go back and forth on that. And then my second issue was as regards the wording in the ordinance that it's consistent with properties within the area. It is not. It's if they are using East Point as a property in the area, that is one property. It is not consistent with any of the other buildings in the area.
But why should that not be included as one of the references?
I didn't say it shouldn't be
okay.
included. I said it is one of many.
Okay.
And the many are not being considered here.
Okay.
I can answer your question, Mr.
Sure. You give me your opinion, but go ahead. We can go all
That's
day,
all
Peter.
This is. That's all
I agree.
This is.
Yeah.
East Point is not a permitted use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In the borough. You can't build East Point there.
Okay. Any other comments on 12-09? Yes, sir.
Isn't a road closed because of...
Name? Name and address, please, sir.
Martin Kyrie, 39 Shore Drive. Isn't a road closed because of hillside sliding? Isn't a trail closed presently because of a hillside sliding? My house, which is far away from this, at the end of Shore Drive, across from the firehouse, I've experienced a 5-foot slide of dirt that has covered a portion of my my back deck. And that's just from normal rainwater. The corner of Miller and Shore Drive had a water plant that United Jersey sold, and that was one of the main collection points for the water that was on the hillside. Have they been brought into that, is my first question. My second question is, many residents are fearful of their home, not because they're fearful, but because they have been victimized by the hillside. Can any developer present a performance bond that specifically names each of the persons who would be affected? I think it would end a lot of the arguments and complaints. The performance bonds would not be, in the grand scheme of things, an expensive cost to a developer. And the third question is, with the master plan, can there be any kind, and I'm not so sure that this can happen, but can there be any kind of narrowing of the scope to the particular owner? As you
By that
I mean, you have an owner who is promising you the world. Once they get the approvals, they sell to someone else. Not in this case, maybe. They sell to someone else that will not promise the world. So everything that I'm asking for in terms of protection for the residents of the borough is, can it all be done in writing?
Any site plan would go with the property. Like, right. If there's a site plan approval and I sold the property to you, you couldn't do more than I could because the site plan is a site plan.
But you could do less.
On a site plan, yeah. But if you had a part of the plan was you had to build sidewalks. Like, that's what we're doing on two of these potential things.
Yeah, less at C Street, as you guys commented earlier.
But that was a property.
Later, we don't have.
Mr. Kelly, that was just a property sale. That was sale. That was a mistake by this table to sell that property, whenever that was, 10, 20 years ago. 20 years ago at this point, I'm sure. That was a mistake. This is somebody who has to put an improvement down there and is, or up there or, you know, anywhere in town.
Right.
Anything that they have to do is a requirement. That stays with whatever they're going to do, no matter who owns it. As far as a performance bond goes, that would be part of a site plan also, of anything, to any improvement or anything else like that goes. I don't know the legalities of naming other residents in it.
That almost sounds like getting an insurance policy.
Yeah, I'm not sure of the legalities. And what was the first question, sir? I'm sorry. Did we bring in American
water? Yeah, is American Water part of this process? Because we sold a water utility to them. They closed a portion of that. Are they, by closing a portion of that process in our town, our water collection process, are they causing a problem on the entire hillside by not collecting that water?
Please, sir.
That was a potable water utility, and what you're talking about at the base of the hill that this gentleman talked about, and in general, is stormwater, and those two systems do not mix.
But United Jersey or American Water, whatever they were at the time,
no, it went from
a cistern where they were collecting water from the hillside.
I'm sorry?
The people that own it now just removed that cistern after weeks of demolishing. There was a water collection cistern at that site, and there was also a filtration system for that water to be pumped into the potable system. So they were collecting potable water, and I understand what you're saying about storm drain and never the two shall mix, but when they're on a hillside, they mix.
That water utility was sold in the late 80s.
90s.
Early 90s, then, right? I mean, I don't want to.
And
the years got a little.
I got ripped off. I remember it dramatically.
Just like the ferry terminal.
Yeah.
There's no way that the water that we're dealing with behind Shore Drive is getting to that cistern.
I'm not asking for an answer.
He's just asking overall on the hill itself.
I know that none of you right now can even present an answer to the question. My question is very simple. Can the water utility be brought into the process, and can they be forced to continue to collect water?
I think what also, and I don't want to speak for you, is we should, what you're saying is, there should be consideration of anything done there, that there is an availability of the drainage of water. So you're not causing...
I mean, that's what everybody's concern is.
I understand that, but I think really what you're...
looking to do. Because if it, nothing happens now and no one ever bills anywhere, that's not in consideration. If somebody does something moving forward, little, big, or small, then we should have that in consideration. And then that would be an improvement of what you have now. Right now you have nothing.
100 feet away from me, they used a small device like a jackhammer on the end of a backhoe, and the amount of movement on the hillside was absolutely dramatic.
Like a trip hammer, yeah.
Now, I don't know what's going to happen in a steeper slope at a higher level.
Okay.
And by bringing in the water utility, share the damage. I mean, we have a right to ask them if they bought the utility from us, and at some point they did rip us off, or there was some type of illegality.
That site is owned by Red Bank Recycling. It has nothing to do
now,
with it. No. Okay, yes, now.
But when the water utility, for lack of a better phrase, shut off the faucets, where does that water go? There was nothing in the sale that discussed that at all. And we were taken for a huge ride by the water utility, who ultimately hired the mayor who broke the deal.
Mr. Mayor, we're kind of getting out. Yeah, we've got to get back on 12. Mr. Mayor, anybody else want to talk on 12-09? Okay, seeing none, I'll close the public portion.
Okay, on for third and final reading and adoption is Ordinance 0-12-9, an ordinance amending and supplementing Chapter 21 of the Revised General Code of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, entitled Zoning, to modify the requirements of the MH Mobile Home Residence District and to further allow mid-rise multifamily developments in the MH zone as conditional uses and to establish regulations pertaining thereto.
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
Second.
Second by Mr. Francy. Mr. Redmond?
Yes.
Mr. Francy?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Does anybody at the table have any questions for a CFO? You're sitting very patiently.
Why, does he want to go home?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I see we love to stay.
Let's talk about the tax rate.
You deserve it, right?
You want to get into the shakes and the tie? No, we're good. Thanks, Steve.
On for second reading and public hearing at this time is Ordinance 0-12-10. An ordinance of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, amending and supplementing Chapter 21 entitled Zoning and Land Use Regulations to modify uses in the B1, B2, WC2, the R1.03, and the MXD zone districts. Notice was sent out to residents via certified mail and regular, and notice was published in the newspaper and may now be open for a public hearing.
Anyone at the table have any comments on this? Chris?
I have to read this again.
Yeah, listen, you asked for it, you got it, my friend.
This ordinance is a response to changes requested by the business community in a report dated 6/9/2011. There were many changes requested in that report, but in crafting the ordinance, the council rejected many of their requests, especially those that impacted residential areas or that increased potential for increased density in residential areas and on Bay Avenue. The purpose of this ordinance is to enhance the potential for commercial development along Bay Avenue and in the MXD district at the northern end of town. Part of the proposed changes in the MXD district were driven by the settlement of the Paradise Park court case, Paradise Park Mobile Home court case, wherein the Paradise Homeowners Association won the right to purchase the park. The park was part of the MXD zone, but the mobile home use was not a permitted use. This had the effect that if the resident's home in the park was damaged, it could not be replaced in kind. The new ordinance reestablishes the mobile home use for that park. Also, the MXD zoning was a 6-acre minimum. Carving out the mobile home park meant that no one could meet the 6-acre size requirement. Consequently, we changed the MXD zoning to 2 acres minimum. The council also agreed with the business community that it made it sense to extend the MXD zone to properties directly adjacent to the current MXD zone, although not to the extent that the business community had requested. We limited it to the Willow Locust Streets area. This council has sent the proposed ordinance to the planning board for review 3 times. For each review, the council has incorporated any requested changes with the any of the requested planning board changes, with the exception of eliminating the extension of the MXD zone. The planning board finds that that provision is not consistent with our master plan. Our master plan was created in 2004 and updated again in 2009. Among other goals, specifically, it has a goal to promote commercial development. As such, I find that some of the business community requests for the zoning changes contained in their report may be helpful to that goal of commercial development. We initiated rezoning efforts along Bay Avenue to improve commercial development in 2006. Nothing has really happened, due in part to the economy for sure. This ordinance is a second attempt to enhance prospects for Bay Avenue development. It's taken a year of the council working with the planning board to get a zoning ordinance, and we still cannot get the planning board agreement, nor can we get any kind of negotiated agreement. It just, they're stuck on it. At this point, the council needs to move on. We can't wait another year. We can't wait for a master plan, a new master plan, which is going to cost $60,000 and another year of wait. At this point, we need to move on. I will vote yes for this ordinance.
Okay. Anybody else at the table want to weigh in on anything on this or overall comments? Okay, Beck, you want to?
No, I agree. It's time to move on. And I mean, I think most of us in this room, when you go down Bay Ave, you see a lot of desolate buildings, vacant buildings. We need to start building up our community. That way we can share the tax rate with businesses that come in and really build up our town. I mean, I think the council up here as a whole wants to see us move forward, not backwards. And I think that this is an attempt to take what happened in 2006 and say, that's not working. How do we tweak it? How do we make it better? And maybe this will work. Maybe this won't work. Maybe we'll sit here in 2015 and say, it didn't work. How are we going to tweak it again? But I think it's a good attempt at starting to spark that business and spark these different developments that can come in and mix nicely with our residential community.
I would agree with that. With both Ms. Kane and Mr. Francie, we started talking about this. It's got to be maybe January of last year, on one-on-one between us and then in with the Business Improvement District and our Economic Development Committee. We had, it's got to be dozen meetings on this that I know I've been at. We started to really look at certain things too, and it's not just a change of everything and adding things. There were certain things that were permitted in one end of town in the business district and not in the other end of town. So we just kind of tried to make them seamless. We recognize that we're pretty good as a town, and whether it be the bid or the borough, it's, that's still the town because we have a partnership. We're real good at putting on events. We can get people here, but they have nowhere to stay when they get here. You know, with all due respect to the short-term rentals and the bed and breakfasts, is really, you know, and that addresses that, some of that here. I think that we also saw certain things like the people that wanted to do a restaurant at Gimpy's. Well, the zoning lapsed for a restaurant, so they would have to go back and spend money to put a restaurant where a restaurant is. Things like that just didn't make sense to us. So we tried to bring everybody on board for that. We had, I think we must have had 3 or 4 planning board meetings on this alone, this ordinance by itself. It's very comprehensive if you look at certain things and really digest it. You were allowed to operate a cab in town, but you couldn't have there was no license, right? That was how it went.
You'd have a license, but there's no place in the
You couldn't
house.
Have, you couldn't sure. have, that allowed a cab. I mean, things like that we just tried to, you know, to put in, under this. We had at one point there was a development where the new Quick Check's going to be where somebody wanted to put a gym, and that wasn't allowed. And, you know, we thought that might be a good idea, if not there, somewhere else on the highway. We tried to keep certain things off of Bay Avenue and into the main, you know, the highway by zoning the districts. I will now open up to the public portion. Mr. Mullen, since you sat on the subcommittee on this, did you want to weigh in on it? I don't want to put you on the spot, but you've probably had 3 or 4 meetings on your own on this, too, just as a subcommittee.
I think the biggest concern I have with the modifications to these ordinances is, frankly, that the NXD district, I think, is to the benefit of one person, as is the shadow law, and I think there's some real problems with getting a clear view of what's beneficial to a single entity and what's beneficial.
Okay.
Both locations. I think that the movement of the MXD zone into the residential portion of that area creates or lessens the value of those properties because there's a 2-acre minimum, so that someone who wants to use the MXD regulations and they have a lot down there, they can't use them. They have to sell their land to someone who already had 2 acres or can assemble it. And I don't believe there's an ability to assemble all those lots and get 2 acres. So I think there's, the benefit goes to a single entity, and I think that that's potentially very unfair.
Okay. That's my... Any of the other sections you know, with the business?
Well, the change in the business district, basically,
it's minor.
You just put all of the uses that were allowed in what used to be the more dense district, the bridge end of town, and you combine those uses with those that are allowed at the Huddy Park end of town. We used to have 2 business districts, we have 1 now.
Now, I know we did some work on the, you guys did some work on the highway-oriented business. And
that was in the last change. That wasn't in this order.
Okay. No, it's you know, they're listed. I know we talked about hotels. We talked about a lot of things, and it's pretty comprehensive. Okay, let's open up to the public portion. Name and address, please.
I'm Jerry Feldman. I live at 12 Locust Street.
Okay.
It would appear that that my house is one of the tweaks that to the plan. And the first thing I have is to ask a question that I know all of my neighbors are asking, which is the current use of their existing homes going to be grandfathered in this plan?
I'd like to address that directly, please.
Please, sir.
Your current zoning, that is R1.03, is not changing at all, in any way, shape, or form. What has changed is there is, in effect, an overlay. That is, your property, without having to go through a use change, can also be considered part of the MXD zone. That benefit, that
if you assembled.
No, I mean at this point.
Because it butts up against it.
Because it butts up against an MXD zone, all right? So that the owner of the MXD zone, whoever that may be, all right, if he needed to make his lot bigger, he would not be faced with use changes on those surrounding properties. It's, from my point of view, and contrary to Mr. Mullen,
I was going to say that's the other side of the argument. If you had, let's say for argument, I mean to cut you off, if you had a situation where you needed, say, 2 more lots to do something down there, in my opinion, just my opinion, those lots now become more valuable because you're not, there's nowhere else to go.
That's my
just
point.
My opinion.
That's my
that's
point.
The other argument, to, and I'm not disagreeing with Mr. Mullen, said, that's the other side of the argument.
But it's a very, very clear thing. Your zoning is unchanged. On top of it is added this MXD zone, which impacts you not at all. But down the road, in the future, you decide to sell, all right? It's of a particular value that it can be incorporated without hearings and costs and lawyers and all that nonsense.
I understand that. But I just want to...
So your answer is yes, you still have the same rights you had yesterday. If this passes tonight, you have the same you had today. Okay. Sir?
Cormac Flynn, 53 Matthews. And I apologize, but I'm mostly seeking a clarification.
Please, sir. We'll try to clarify it for you.
Reading through the language, it talks about how the changes would affect portions of Block 101. And it seems to me what it's saying is the only portion of Block 101 that is really affecting is the WC2 waterfront commercial, or what we civilians might call Doris and Ed's.
Okay.
I just want to see clarification. Are any of these changes changing the zoning or affecting Matthews Street or the relict stub of Locust that crosses Matthews or the Matthews Street beach?
If you're on the water side of Shore Drive, the answer is yes.
Okay.
If you're on the hillside of Shore Drive, the answer is no. Mm-hmm.
That's where the line is.
Okay, so it does. So it goes all the way to all of Block 101 on that side, including my block.
From Doris and Ed's. No, it doesn't go past Doris and Ed's.
It doesn't go further east than Doris and Ed's.
I'm going to stand corrected. I don't know what the map details. Marty?
It goes a little bit farther than Doris and Ed's.
Okay. So your understanding is correct.
Okay. So it does not include Matthews or the Matthews Street Beach.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Okay.
So the one thing that I would say, I mean, I understand this idea of the MX overlay zoning things and zoning to facilitate some commercial development. I'm not, do I understand that that includes then Matthew Street Beach, because it seems a bit strange to me that a piece of land that appears on the master plan as part of our open space and, you know, is the master plan also identifies the lack of open space specifically at that end of town, we're talking about increasing density, would be rezoned to facilitate further development.
I don't have an answer. Matthews Street Beach has never been discussed as part of what we're doing.
Okay.
I'd have to refer to Mr. Truscott to clarify that detail, because I don't think it has a block and lot.
It's not a good question, but this is what we're talking about.
It's limited. You know,
it is limited to that.
Block 101 and 102.
Chris, sir.
But that stars in it.
Correct.
This is
what he's talking about.
Chris, you want to cover this?
Oh, yeah, you got to color one.
Sir, I'm not sure I can answer it. I'm going to have to ask Mr. Truscott to weigh in, and I don't know whether he can develop an answer in the next 10, 15 minutes. But
second. Go ahead, Mr. Truscott. You want to weigh in?
I mean, as I said before, it involves blocks 101 and 102 only. It has to be immediately adjacent and part of the edge of the MXD zone only. So you can't go on beyond that. You can't jump over that. So
the answer is no, because at this point you're not adjacent to an MXD zone.
Okay.
And it doesn't have the minimum.
It has to be a sort of expansion of that.
It doesn't have the minimum.
Right. So the MXD
that's a separate issue.
But it is. That's a deterrent. Yes, I think you were first, man. Yeah.
I'm sorry? Those homes, those existing residences, their zoning remains unchanged.
Correct.
There is this overlay that an additional zone that's permissible, conditional use, that is the MXD, that only kicks in if the adjacent property owner desires to acquire it, and then the deal is reached and whatever.
But that's a private deal.
There's nothing in what we're promoting that that's your perception. You could say it negatively impacts. But from my point of view, your zoning stays the same.
It doesn't change it.
It doesn't change it. There's no intention to say it. There's no pressure to change it. It's just it's a recognition that there is a scale of development in the in that based in Sandy Hook Marina and then Doris and Ed's, that it would be beneficial to the town if it got developed to its potential. It has not happened in 5-6 years.
Only on the water side.
You know, I certainly understand that. The concern I have before they stop the Sea Street Clarity project is that coming through there, I understand the need for development. I'm not being negative about this, but this is a residential, you know, community. And the way some of these cars used to zoom around out of the ferry was pretty dangerous. So I just wanted to keep in mind we're not talking about an area that's really, you know, set up for hotels, motels, you know, multi-use, because it's really a very kind of little residential street. But I don't know it has to be developed, but I think
and I understand what you're saying, but understand from this point of view, this council didn't create the MXD zone. That zone was created in 2007, I believe, All right.
Six and a seven, yeah.
Six or seven, all right. That's when that zoning was created. And all of the potential for development, that was a six-acre parcel. So, yes, a six-acre parcel. So there was 6 acres of MXD zoning that could get built. Because Paradise Park has the potential for being separate, all right, now that six-acre zone is now 3.7 acres, all right? So that might not facilitate an MXD zone. So this ability to expand the MXD zone back up to this scale that might force the development, that's what we're trying to drive.
And let's be clear, too, before anybody can do anything there, current owner, new owner, you know, combination owner, they're going to have to go to a planning board and have site plan and hearings and another public hearing, and everyone has to be informed of that, too, that is influenced by that. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Mary Jane Tyson, 350 Shore Drive. I am right next to Garcinet's, and I just want to clarify how I interpreted the reading because it was uniquely written. And I'll just use terms everyone gets. Marina by Garcinet's is permitted to be a mixed
correct
zone.
Correct.
However, the remaining four properties in the waterfront to commercial zone do not have that luxury, are stuck as waterfront commercial, where three of those four properties are homes and one the apartment building. Is that what I understand? So it clearly benefits one individual, it sounds like. That's how I feel. Because the reality is, although we're all residential and we're grandfathered as residential, our home burns to the ground, you're telling us we can't rebuild it and we're out.
No, please. Your zoning hasn't changed. You can,
right, but as a waterfront,
in perpetuity.
But as a residential home in a waterfront commercial zone, if more than half the property is destroyed, you are not permitted to rebuild.
Welcome to my world.
Which is which is fine, except you're going to tell me that this large piece of property, which coincidentally I believe is 2 acres, correct?
Correct.
Now has the luxury to decide what they want to be because they are 2 acres, so they open up the whole realm of anything in the mixed zone. However, the remaining four properties, because they're smaller parcels, do not. So it clearly focuses on the benefit of that property and the.
You're saying if you have a total loss or a situation that affects it, you can't rebuild with this?
I'm saying if for a development, it's so important to have mixed zone, change the whole zone and let every party in that zone have that luxury.
Okay.
That's how I feel. I don't have a problem either way, but this looks very much like it's
been. We're trying to protect, be quite honest, we're trying to protect your right as a single family residence to maintain that. You have that. We have that obligation to protect you for that.
And I don't feel that the change proposed does that.
Because you're already zoned as waterfront commercial? You're a residential use in the waterfront commercial?
Right. So it's telling me that because the bigger property went, you know, that they can be the mix. Where if the whole zone was mixed, you could be residential, commercial, you could go either way. You would have a broader scope of option. Be a broader scope of option when you sell. There are a lot of pieces around it, and
I don't disagree with what you're saying on the face, but I think if we did that, someone else could make the argument that you were forcing them to sell, because somebody, the 2-acre one, would now want that, and it would devalue. You know what I mean? You could make both arguments. I understand what you're saying. We thought the other way.
We have your name at this point. We'll look into that situation and
it's not a bad idea, but I could understand both arguments.
Honestly, you know, I'm not sure where this gentleman is, but you know, when it was kind of no, you're not part of it. Well, you very well could be if
there could be a chain of events that's no question. There could be a chain of events that the whole thing, if you had the correct, you know,
correct.
You would be private transactions happening, right. And an event that.
To me personally, I don't care if it all stays waterfront commercial, and I don't care if it all goes to mix. I just think that the direction that it's moving doesn't seem that way.
Okay. You're saying, your opinion, the whole thing should be expanded.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's
all or nothing.
We want to know, you know, everybody's opinion either way. That's why you have the public hearing. Okay. Yes, sir.
Roger, 1964 Lincoln Avenue.
It's not our, sir, it's not our obligation to create the infrastructure for somebody else's development.
To develop something.
That's the developer's responsibility.
It'll be part of the requirements.
Yeah, but you would think that if somebody's going to come in and invest money, they would go down and look at the property, and then all of a sudden see the street flood because Jones Creek is blocked up. How are you going to have anybody with common sense going to invest any kind of money? And basically, you got to have the infrastructure in place, and then with that, you can get redevelopment. I think you're putting the cart before the horse.
Okay, but wouldn't we want the person that wants to develop it to pay for that, then the residents?
Taxpayers.
Well, Jones Creek, you want him to clean out Jones.
And that might be part of a site plan, part of a requirement. Right now, nobody has any plan. There's nobody before any board with a, that to my knowledge, I mean, I don't sit on the zoning board, but there's nobody before any board with a plan to do anything.
But wouldn't it pay for the town to look at Jones Creek and the low point, get rid of the water? Once you get rid of the water, I mean, you can have a...
We do have a flood mitigation plan, and we're waiting on about $3 million from FEMA to come in and then hopefully implement that.
And that will deal with Jones Creek specifically?
That will deal with that specifically.
And how far along are we going?
We're shelf ready, ready to go. We're just waiting for the money.
That's a little outside.
Yeah, you know, we're all just talking now. Anybody else on 1210? I'm sorry.
Thank you.
No problem, sir.
Pauline Jennings, 27 Love Street. I agree wholeheartedly with the city. It's time to stop this fancy way of putting things. You are definitely changing things way, way too fast. What is the rush? If you say you have nobody with a plan in, why are you rushing? And I have no confidence, Mayor Nolan, when you talk about, well, any plan that does come in will go before the planning board.
It has to.
When you ignore your planning board.
Okay.
Why do you have a planning board?
Well, then need a site plan.
Set a task and have three meetings, have three reports for them and from them, and consistently ignore them.
Okay.
I mean, there is no transparency here in this.
Well, then you might not agree with it, but there is transparency. Every meeting's public.
I agree every meeting is public, but you don't speak openly, as in you are favoring a developer at the cost of all of the residents.
I disagree.
You are not listening to your residents.
Okay, I disagree, but that's okay. Anybody else on 1210? Sir?
I won't try to patience and I'll go for it.
No,
I
no.
just want to say...
Sorry, your name, please?
Name and address again, I apologize.
Max Flynn, 53 Matthews. The chain of events that the mayor referred to that would sort of expand in the MX district. The point I want to make is that the Matthews Street Beach Park is one link from that chain. Doris and Ed's is purchased, as it will be, it's, you know, closed, becomes part of the MX, immediately adjacent to that park. That creates pressure on this cash-strapped community to potentially sell it sometime in the future. You may all be thinking, we're good people, we would never do that. And maybe you wouldn't. But remember that the other crowd might be in again too, and who knows? Right? Or
selling what? I apologize, sir. Selling what?
I'm sorry.
And
so I think that the board just might want to consider exempting the park from the zone.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Anybody else on 1210? Please, sir. Name and address.
Lou Longo, 15 Locust Street. Listening to all the different arguments and things that are put forward, such as the hill and everything else, I've lived here for 62 years on Locust Street, and I've watched all the development, and I've watched the marina when it was first put in because my parents and the parents on the block didn't pay the repairing rights, and the land was sold, and that pit was put behind this, which has been an eyesore for almost the entire time that it's been there. I would love to see it cleaned up. It used to be a beautiful beach there. But the reality is that we have Darsonettes, we have the marina, and the same people, and he has the trailer. We are small people. We are surrounded by the giant, the corporate giant. Yes, the town's going to make money. He's going to make a lot of money because it's waterfront property. It's beautiful down there. I'm not going to give up my waterfront property. I'm not going to give up my view for him to put two-story and three-story condos behind me. Beautiful upstairs, I can see the ocean. That's part of my life. It's going to my children, it's going to stay third generation. I will fight till the last tooth and nail to make sure that people like this don't come in and take.
take away from people who have... We went and found that lovely little neighborhood. You all came here and found your beautiful little homes because it was a beachfront home and a beautiful property. You don't want somebody building a big, gigantic thing all around you, increasing the traffic, making it dangerous, polluting the air. And when the marina was put there, the gentleman who is deceased now dumped fuel. I watched him dump fuel and everything else into that ground. Nobody did anything. He had called them. Nobody came and cleaned that up. That is so contaminated back there. And now I hear that the gentleman who owns that parcel of land wants to redo the marina, and he wants to dig that out. And so far, I've heard just through the air, I don't know this for a fact, that he's going to get the okay to dig out that marina. I happen to know, personally, our Lieutenant Governor, her husband, the judge, put in just to dredge out the Monmouth Beach, just a little section behind. Nobody in the state of New Jersey or New York will take that dredge because it's all contaminated. I'd like to know where that gentleman got his permits or who he's paying off to get rid of all that contaminated silt and soot and mud and everything that's in that marina to dig it out and make it what it used to be, a nice marina. I would love to see a nice marina there. But this man has taken stuff and dumped it behind our houses already and got fined for it and even brought to court for it. I don't trust him as long as I can throw him. And I don't think any of you should trust him for the benefit of the town, to not benefit the people who have lived here 62 years. I don't want to see it all go down the tubes. I want to see it fixed up and nice, but I don't want these big giants to come in here and destroy what we came here for. My parents bought the house because it was going to the seashore. I don't want to see a building sticking up behind me, devalue the value of my property so that it makes it when he comes in and says, let me buy this whole side of the block because it will give me more acreage and I can build the condos that I want. I saw in the original drawings. Locust Street was gone. The condos were where Locust Street was. It was a new marina. It was the ferry was over at the trail camp with the parking lot. And it was a gated community. What a beautiful look. But at the expense of all the people who have lived there all their lives. And I don't think any of you who have lived in this town should let anybody come in and do that. Fix it up. Make it nice. Put more businesses in. That's fine. But don't let them squash us, surround us, and take our rights away and what we've worked so hard for. I want to retire this year, and I want to stay in my little house, and I don't want to look at all this crap around me and listen, well, he promised this, but he never fulfilled it. Thank you.
Any other comments on 1210? Ma'am?
It's Dolores Settleback. I agree with Mr. Longo. The stuff we have put up with down there is just really outrageous.
Okay.
Okay?
Thank you, ma'am. Okay. Seeing no other comments, we'll close the public portion.
On for third and final reading and adoption is Ordinance 0-12-10, an ordinance of the Borough of Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, amending and supplementing Chapter 21 entitled Zoning and Land Use Regulations to modify uses in the B1, B2, the WC2, the R-1.03 and the MXD zone districts.
And the HO zone, it says too, Martha? That's what it says in here.
On the title?
Mm-hmm. MXD and HO zone.
I don't have that alarm.
Okay. I'll offer 12-10, the official wording.
You want to add the HO? Was that what you said?
It says it on this piece of paper that I have.
Is that just the agenda? Oh, well, that's because it contains it, but it's not in the actual.
Okay, title. Then I'll offer 12, like I said, I'll offer the 12-10 official ordinance.
Okay. Offered by Mayor Nolan.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Francie. Mr. Redman?
I'm going to vote no.
Mr. Francie?
Yes.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. On for second reading and public hearing is Ordinance 0-12-14, an ordinance granting an access easement to RA Multimedia Corp, doing business as Captain's Cove Marina, to maintain the underlying support for its bulkhead along Washington Ave.
This is Portland. Yeah.
And accepting a drainage easement from RA Multimedia Corp, doing business as Captain's Cove Marina. This ordinance was published in its entirety in the June 9th edition of the Asbury Park Press, and may now be up for public hearing.
Dale, you want to give a layman's explanation of this?
Sure, Mayor. Basically, this will allow the marina owner access underneath the borough roadway to perform repairs necessary to keep his bulkhead intact. The support members, known as the dead men and the tie rods, currently extend out inside the roadway. This allows them access to, for repairs, services as needed. In return, there is a stormwater inlet and a short run of pipe that protrudes through his bulkhead at the Recreation Place Washington Avenue intersection that we will have access to perform our own repairs as needed moving forward.
Thank you, sir. Does anybody have any comments on 12-14, which is part of the repair of Washington Street and, in essence, the marina down there? Seeing none, I'll close the vote, of course.
Offered third and final reading and adoption is Ordinance 0-12-14, an ordinance granting an access easement to RN Multimedia Corp. doing business as Captain's Cove Marina to maintain the underlying support for its bulkhead along Washington Ave and accepting a drainage easement from RN Multimedia Corp. doing business as Captain's Cove Marina.
I'll offer it.
Offered by Mayor Nolan.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Ms. Kane. Mr. Redman?
Yes.
Mr. Francis?
Yep.
Ms. Kane?
Yes.
Mayor Nolan?
Yes.
Motion carries. Then moving on to other business, we have the engineer status report.
Mr. Lubin, are you here, sir?
Yes, sir.
Can you please give us a status report?
I can, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much. Basically, the report will stick to the three road projects currently underway. First one I'll talk about is the 2011 road improvement program. That encompasses portions of Valley Avenue, Woodland Street, Prospect Street, and Bayview. Contractor has started installing concrete work on Valley. He also has performed sanitary sewer repair work on Valley. He is currently mobilizing further to begin the drainage work on Woodland Avenue. Moving on to Highland Avenue, as I'm sure you are aware, the contractor has remobilized. Drainage has resumed on Miller Street. The road is proposed to remain closed until Friday. He will open it Friday afternoon. Basically, this allows him to move quicker through the area. However, we will ensure that the driveway for the thrift shop is open and easily accessible. A couple of things associated with this. One, I mentioned previously that we're looking at additional drainage work on the Twin Lights Ocean intersection to capture that water that's cascading down the hill. We received a price from Fiori, who's doing the Highland Avenue work, in the tune of $29,000 to install additional inlets, piping, some additional pavement, some curbing. If it's the council's desire to move forward with that, I can prepare the change order, authorize them to move forward and complete that work. We could do that under this contract, which I think would be cleaner. Another option, if you'd like, I could shop it to the other contractors in town. Just the danger of that is you've got a paving and construction operation in this area. It'd probably be cleaner this way. But whatever council's pleasure is at this point to do, I'm more than willing to obviously proceed in that direction.
Okay. I know we got a waste. We have to do here.
Oh.
Hey, Bruce, we have two people sitting here right now, so we got to hold off. Stop the meeting. We're going to take a pause, folks.
It's commercial.
Bathroom break. Commercial.
It's halftime.
Don't change the channel, will you?